Listener-supported KFUO invites you to listen live to our annual Share-a-thon. It's your opportunity to show your support to KFUO. If you can't join us live, please prayerfully consider supporting us by calling 314-996-1518 and asking about our giving levels. You can also click the Give Now button on our webpage. Share-a-thon 2017, April 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them on the KFUO website. Concordia University, Wisconsin, located in the sponsor section. Joining me in studio now, the Reverend Roosevelt Gray, Director of Black Ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Office of National Mission. Pastor Gray, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
I always love to have you in studio. I love your rich voice on the air. It's so nice to have a fellow baritone in studio with me.
Amen.
You are a baritone,
Amen.
Correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you in studio this morning and talking about a fantastic event coming up this year, Lutherans in Black Ministry Family Convocation.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that. First, let's talk about the name. Unpack that for me. Lutherans in Black Ministry Family Convocation. What is this event?
Well, the Family Convocation has been going on now for about 30 years, and it was Black Ministry Family Convocation. But this year, since it's the 104th anniversary, what we wanted to do was talk about it's Lutherans in Black Ministry Family Convocation. Because a lot of people hear the word Black Ministry Family Convocation, they think it's segregated or it's isolated. And it's not for the whites in the church or other ethnic groups in the church. And so what we wanted to have the picture this year in 2017 was that, no, we are all Lutherans in Black Ministry Family Convocation.
So emphasizing what unites us.
Amen. In that there are Black members of congregations that are not predominantly Black. There are some congregations where you may have only one Black person in the congregation, or a few, or they're predominantly Black congregations. And so what we're saying, what unites us, is that we're Lutherans, in that there are Black members in congregations throughout the United States. And so this is not only for them, but it's for all of the Lutherans. So if you're in a congregation that has no Black members, or one Black member, or you're in a predominantly Black congregation, this family convocation is for you. It is for the entire church.
Very good.
Because we're celebrating 140 years of Lutherans in Black ministry.
So what goes on at a Lutherans in Black Ministry Family Convocation?
Well, the time that we're going to spend there, we're going to be rejoicing over the Reformation. It's still all about Jesus. Our theme is all for Jesus. So if the Synod says it's still all about Jesus for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we say then we're all for Jesus. And so it's going to be all about Jesus. It's going to be about workshops and seminars and things that people can go back to their congregations to do to encourage the gospel in the congregations, in the communities. But it's also going to be about coming together as Lutherans under the word and sacrament. There will be worship services there. There will be opportunities there to go and see the Civil Rights Museum in Birmingham, Alabama. It's going to be at the Sheraton Hotel in Birmingham, Alabama. If you want to know more about it, you can go on our website at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod under Ethnic Ministry. Click Black Ministry, and there you can find everything about 2017 Lutherans in Black Ministry Family Convocation.
So taking place in Birmingham, tell me a little bit more about why you chose this location. What you mentioned a museum as well.
Well, historic, when you think about Black ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it started in the South. It started in Little Rock, Arkansas. Then the next phase was New Orleans, Louisiana, then North Carolina, and then Alabama. And so Alabama field was the largest of all of the fields in Black ministry. There were 30 Black congregations, 35 congregations, and 30 schools in the Southern District of Alabama. And one of those historic places were Birmingham, Alabama's church started there in 1916, Pilgrim Lutheran Church, started by the great Rosa J. Young. And the reason we wanted to do that is to celebrate the history of where the church got started in the South, but also wanted to celebrate the work that has been done for civil rights and in our work as Lutherans and participating in that civil rights event. Yeah.
You mentioned Rosa Young, yes. And the film has been out for a while now, yes. Too, the first Rosa film.
Yes.
Anything regarding the first Rosa film at the convocation?
Well, we will have an opportunity to show the first Rosa film. I'm going to do that when I do my presentation. It's only 42 minutes, so if you haven't seen it, please register, come down. You can see it there and enjoy the city of Birmingham, but also enjoy the Lutherans who are gathering there in Black Ministry and Family Convocation. With the film is out and going, I'm going throughout the United States in congregations and regions and still talking about the film and engaging people about the great work of Rosa Young, 30 schools and 35 congregations, the greatest mission feat in America in any denomination. And it was by a lady. And isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. A female did that work with the pastors who came down, you know, and those kinds of things. But we're going to celebrate in Birmingham. Birmingham is a historic city. Most of us know we've seen the civil rights things about Birmingham. And so we're going to have a chance to see the Civil Rights Museum, see the Baptist church that was bombed there in Birmingham. So we're going to have a wonderful time in this family convocation.
Mm. You mentioned, as we were talking about Rosa Young, Dr. Young, you know, that it's... You know, outstanding that she was a woman who worked with the pastors, but also another great point of how she served as an evangelist. So she was a teacher,
right,
and such a pioneer for Lutheran schools,
yes,
in her community and surrounding areas. What a witness to the great value of Christian education, Lutheran teachers, and the great witness they are. And what they can serve. So thanks be to God for her and that great story. I'm glad that you're going to show the film there as well.
Yes.
I've seen it a couple of times.
Right.
It's an outstanding film. Glad
it
that it'll
always
be
just
at the
powerful
convocation.
When you see the film, yes.
So Lutherans in Black Ministry Family Convocation. Tell me, why is it a family convocation? What
well,
does that mean?
Well, it's all about family, you know. I mean, we're members of the family of God, you know, and it's about family. It's about building those relationships so that we can baptize and catechize our young people, grow them up in the church so that they can be the present leaders and the future leaders. And so what we want to encourage the family convocation is to encourage families in the church to be about the work that God has called them to do, to serve their families, to serve other families in the community. And so we want to build on families. And so, but if you don't have a family, if you're a single person, you can join in with the family, and we would encourage you and support you and celebrate with you also. It's for all of us. But family is that we gather, number one, as the family of God together. Number two, we gather as families in the communities where God has called us to serve. And number three, then we have our own families as we come together. So the family of God, the family of community of faith, and then families coming together.
Outstanding. And this is in Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama.
The dates.
The dates, it's July the 12th through the 16th. And we're going to have a glorious and a wonderful opening service. The great preacher, Pastor Dr. Omer Marshall, will be there with his choir at the opening service there. We have a convocation choir. Pastors, please come. You can vest. I mean, church workers in general will process in, invest. And, you know, if you're a deaconess or a deacon or a Christian director of whatever your teacher, educator, pastor, we all will vest and we will march in together, process in together, and have a wonderful service at that particular time. But as I said, we'll have workshops. We got some great speakers. We got the Reverend Chris Botley, who is going to be speaking, the opening speaker for Thursday. We got the Reverend D.N.A. Taylor out of Redeemer in New York is going to be a great speaker, and he's going to be speaking on All for Jesus, Knowing Him. And, you know, he's got his doctorate in catechesis, so he's going to be talking about that. You know, what does it mean to know Jesus as far as the church is teaching about Jesus and how to go about laying that out among the people that you serve. We have another person who's going to be the keynoter, and she's out of Mobile, Alabama, does a lot of community development and neighborhood specialization. So that's going to give us an opportunity for our congregations to know how to develop work in the neighbors and revitalize their communities. Her name is Levanus Dubose, out of Trinity Lutheran Church. We have Dr. Leopoldo Sanchez at our St. Louis Seminary in the systematics theology. He's going to talk about All for Jesus. How do we confess Christ in the 21st century? What does that mean as we are a global society today, but how do we go about doing that? We have Dr. Gregory Seltz, who is over the Lutheran Hour Ministry. He's going to be talking about All for Jesus. How do we go about serving Christ in the 21st century? And what does that mean as we serve people, we serve Christ. And then we're going to have Dr. John A. Nunez, and many people know Dr. Nunez out there, and he's going to be the keynote speaker at the banquet that night on Saturday night, and he's going to speak about what does it mean for a global community to be about Jesus, and then what does it mean for us Lutherans in this 21st century global community. And you know, I heard someone once say that the 16th century allowed Luther and the reformers really to get the message out, because at that time you had the Gutenberg printing press and they got the message out. And so when in their writings went throughout Europe. And I heard this person say, now the 21st century is like what the 16th century was for the Reformation. And so I asked that person to unpack that for me. He said, well, you know, the 16th century, the reason that the reformers were so effective is because they got their message out. They wrote the message, and they printed the message, and they got it out. And people saw it. They believed it. It was the word of God. And so people say, hey, if that's what the word says, then I believe the word. And he said, so that was the Gutenberg generation. He said, now this 21st century is a Google generation. And he said, but this century is going to determine what the church looks like 500 years from now. And he said, we're going to use faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone, and Christ alone to the glory of God alone. But what are the vehicles that we're going to use in order to get that message out? Just like we're on the radio today, what are the electronic, internet, and other mediums that we're going to do to preach the gospel? Hmm.
Making use of those first article gifts, just Amen. As they did in the 16th century today, yes. too. That's what we aim Amen. To do here. And what a convocation, an exciting lineup Amen. Of speakers. Yes. You're presenting as well, you mentioned.
I'm presenting about the future of Black ministry. And one of the things that we're looking at in Black ministry is that we're looking at, not only did we do the Rosa Fam, the first Rosa, but what's coming out of the first Rosa is to start some new Rosa J. Young schools. So we're creating what we call a Rosa J. Young Academies Foundation Incorporated. That's going to be the parent company to start new Rosa J. Young schools. And schools are going to be basically voucher charter schools that we're going to use. And we're going to take this emphasis of starting some new Rosa J. Young schools and going back into the urban, the inner city, the rural areas where we once had all of these schools, but we've lost most of them now, that we can go recreate some schools there and help our congregations to reach these families in these communities. So when we talk about family convocations, then, you know, the broad scope is that, you know, the God created family. Adam and Eve was a family. They had kids. And, you know, I mean, they were sinners. So one son, one brother killed his other brother. But, you know, we're all sinners. But, you know, but the church is here for sinners. And the church has realized then that if we're going to embrace families, then we need to be about what it takes in order to build healthy families. And education has always been a key for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so we've lost most of those schools in the urban, inner city, rural areas, the ethnic communities. So now the Rosa J. Young School will be an opportunity for us to go back into those areas to start schools, to support families, and to build better communities.
What a legacy this educator has
Amen.
Left behind, you know, by the many lives that she touched as a Lutheran teacher. And this dream, this desire that you have to, and many others, to see more schools forming and providing Christian education in communities all over our country.
Amen. That will be, I think, the test of time for us as Christians. That today, where we've lost so many of our schools, in the rural areas too, in the urban inner cities, in the major cities, in some small towns and cities, we've lost a lot of those schools simply because congregations just can't afford, you know, to give the education away, and most families can't afford to pay for it. And so this opportunity of starting schools that will be voucher charter schools, but will have a strong emphasis on values education and serving families and building families and for the family. And because God is all for the family, you know, somewhere in the scripture says he's put the lonely in families. And so this will be a great opportunity for us as the church to carry out her legacy. But the legacy that the church has always had, as Martin Luther said, education is very important, that we will go back into areas where we once were to start educational opportunities, to circle those families with God's love, His grace, and His mercy, bring all of the resources of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to the table, and see how God will help us rebuild our communities.
Lutherans in Black Ministry Family Convocation taking place this July. Find out more at lcms.org and look for Ethnic Ministry, Black Ministry, and find the convocation there. My guest today, the Reverend Roosevelt Gray, Director of Black Ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Office of National Mission. Pastor Gray, always a delight to have you in studio.
Thank you.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell inviting you to Christian Friends of New Americans' third annual 5K run and fun walk on Saturday, May 6th at Concordia Seminary. The funds from this event will help CFNA's ministries to new refugees and Americans. Come and join us for some fun. Register online, cfna-stl.org/walk, or call 314-517-8513.
Does your church need help to discover its true mission? Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. It happens to all of us. At some point in our lives, we get distracted, confused, or maybe even burned out, and eventually we lose focus. So it's nice to know at times like these that you have a partner at LCEF. Our ministry support services can help your church clarify its mission so it enjoys sustained health and growth. Learn more at www.lcef.org.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Looking forward to the Lutherans in Black Ministry Family Convocation coming up in the near future. Joining me by phone now, one of the presenters at the convocation, the Reverend Christopher Bodley, Missionary at Large for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Michigan District, and also Director of Acts 2 Enterprise. Pastor Bodley, welcome to Faith and Family.
Oh, thank you, Andy.
Pastor Bodley, let's start with where it began. When did you start thinking about the Office of Holy Ministry? What led you to consider this vocation?
Well, I was really influenced by my father. So he was a Lutheran pastor and on the south side of Chicago, and I started going on some of the visitations that he would have, and when he would go to visit some of the shut-ins and those who were hospitalized. And I think just seeing that and looking at his life, you know, and watching him live out his faith, that was a significant inspiration and contribution for me wanting to pursue the ministry.
And so when you started to pursue the ministry and started studying, what kept you going? What made you stick with it and carry this out? And you served in a variety of vocations or careers too. You've also served as a Navy chaplain. Mm-hmm. What was it about this vocation that made you want to stick with it and now be a missionary serving in the Michigan District?
Sure. I think just the formation that took place earlier on, mm-hmm. especially when I was in college and had a very good professor in the Old Testament and New Testament, and just looking at the scriptures and learning about the scriptures and so my faith grew as a result of understanding it was more than just what was on the page. And I would probably have to say probably the most influential thing that kind of helped inspire me was a class. It was a spiritual formation class when I was in seminary by Dr. Newton. And that just revitalized and just energized me as I began to just look at life and faith and my own self and looking at my own development. It was dynamic. And so I think that was one of the, you know, those are a couple of those things that kind of just helped to keep me focused and moving forward. And then, of course, just, you know, my father encouraged me, my mom, and I also had an uncle. So they just encouraged me in that faith walk.
Once you completed your studies, and ready to serve. Tell me about where you began serving.
Okay. So when I was graduating from seminary, a call was extended me to a church in Orlando, Florida, and we were there, and it was a predominantly African-American congregation, and we arrived there, my wife, and as we were serving there, I can truly just say it was really God that he began to open doors and to see, he began to kind of transform the congregation to becoming multi-ethnic. I remember probably within the first 3 or 4 months, we had a family that came through the Lutheran Refugee Resettlement Program from Liberia. And that was just great having them come, and we began to minister to them, and they got connected with the ministry. They stayed there, their family grew up there. And then we had other families come through, and then God just began to bring people from different parts of the world, from Trinidad, Panama, Germany, Sweden, Cuba, the Caribbean, to that church. And so that kind of just then opened my eyes to the whole idea of what this idea of the gospel being a global message, and it was kingdom and multi-ethnic and multi-generational. And so as I started, that just kind of really also got me excited. And so I was there. We were there for 14 years. Then we were led to then plant a multi-ethnic congregation in Sanford, Florida. So we were at the in Orlando for 14, and Sanford was for 6 years, and it was only about 30 miles away, and we planted an intentional multi-ethnic church with another pastor. In the meantime, during the midst of that, I was also a Navy chaplain, and most of my time was served with the Marines. And that was just even serving with them and going through that whole process. And it really was a great spiritual process that helped to just fuel me and encourage me, expand my vision in regards to mission, but also my own development as a believer.
What is it that you learned during your experience as a Navy chaplain and serving with the Marines that helps you in your ministry today as a missionary?
There were at least three things. One was that this whole idea that as I looked at the Navy, the military, is that either you're preparing for a mission, you're executing that mission, or you're leaving the mission. And so the whole idea and that whole entity of how they help people to accomplish the mission, which I just understood, that was a great template for me to understand, then what does that mean for the believer? The other was the importance of cultural competency. Because the military does have its own culture, and understanding what that culture is in order to be effective. And that was very helpful because I understood I had to learn another culture because it was just very different from your traditional church. And then thirdly was the phrase adapt and overcome. And that was just very important, just being with the Marines too, understanding of when you have a mission, whatever it is, to be able to adapt because things are not going to always go as planned. And then you overcome. You consistently keep pushing through and finding ways to win.
Tell us about your work as missionary at large in the LCMS Michigan District.
Okay. So my the call was to be engaged in a strategic, holistic outreach. We were going to have a charter school. And then we were going to do a wraparound ministry intentionally for the families. And that kind of shifted. We didn't necessarily see that come to fruition in regards to the charter school, but we still have this strategy of strategic holistic outreach and also leadership development. So in the midst of Detroit, being able to say, how do our churches reposition themselves in the context of an urban environment when there is no school? How do we begin to build relationships and trust? And so, therefore, being able to go into the community and listening from the stories and doing some asset-based community planning, we learned from that. And so that was in order to kind of help congregations understand how then do you identify those needs, but also not necessarily think that we are going to be the ones who just supply everything, but to listen to their stories and say, how do we build a bridge? And so we, there's a lot of talk and we do that. And so out of that, we discovered, especially within Detroit, the importance of, talking about work and talking about the family and how do you help people move toward employment and how do you remove barriers and boundaries that may be in their life, which affects the family which then affects the economic viability. And so it gives us a chance to be able to show then how God speaks to every sector of their life. And so, you know, one, we're helping leaders in our churches understand how do you minister to the whole person, and then two, how do you strategically then work toward engaging the community so then people do see Christ in our actions.
Tell me about the strategies that that you've learned about, that you've used in the field, and how you'll be bringing those to, what strategies you'll be bringing to the workshop at the convocation to share.
Well, one was definitely being able to see what the what a critical need was, and we understood that families and employment was very important, because the first thing they, one of the first things that God did was to tell Adam and Eve was to work. And so the idea of being able to work, because most people are going to spend 8 hours of the day, 10 hours of the day in work. And so how then do you, how does the church, or does the church have a message that speaks to work and gives to us permission and the privilege to be able to take this gospel into the secular space that can bring transformation? And that's kind of where I'm coming from, you know, engaging in the workshop. So I'm going to be talking about vision and prayer and having a common language, a language between the church and the community, so that there is a connection. And the idea and the importance of collaboration, those will be some of the areas in regards to the strategy that I'll be talking about in Birmingham.
And so what, as we look forward to the Lutherans in Black Ministry Convocation, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to at this convocation?
I always look forward to even other leadership insight, people who may be doing something also different in their context of ministry, and being able to glean from that, and also just also the networking that is provided, because there are people that are doing some great things, whether it's rural or it's urban or suburban. And then also just the idea of just, you know, a chance for a reunion, a fellowship. I, you know, don't get a chance to see some people that I've known and went to school with. So those are the three, I guess, are just really exciting, the leadership insights and the networking and reunion are things I look forward to.
Who are the folks you expect to see at the convocation?
Well, I see some people that went to Luther South, and also in South Side of Chicago, some classmates that were with me in Nebraska when I went to Stuart, Nebraska. Definitely saw a couple that were other classmates that were from Fort Wayne, Indiana, when I went through seminary. And then definitely also I'll see some of the people in ministry that I've worked with down in Orlando, but also abroad. I've had a chance to see them, and don't necessarily get a chance to see them as frequently because of work. But I would say that between those various groups, that's the reunion, and definitely back from Chicago. I just I get a chance to see some of the people who were in that cluster of churches that were on the south side of Chicago, and that's always exciting.
When you look across the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, what would you say are some of our strengths? What are the best gifts that we have when it comes to Lutherans in Black ministry, and how we might share these at this convocation?
I would say the strength is probably the encouragement that that we gain just by being able to kind of share, you know, our similar context.
Mm-hmm.
I think also that commitment in regards to being able to customize our faith in the context of worship, and that, you know, that does change, but being able to celebrate that, and I think that's what's very important, because you know, as Martin Luther did, trying to make sure that, you know, you put the gospel in the language of the people, and I think that is probably one of the strongest aspects that, you know, comes by being able to celebrate being African-American and in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
As we wrap up today, share with us a little bit about Acts 2 and how we can, Acts 2 Enterprise, how we can find out more about it, and what are some of the key things going on with Acts 2 Enterprise this year?
Okay, so the Acts to Enterprise is the mission scope for the Michigan District for my position. And so it is, when we look at Acts chapter 2, you see that the disciples were in the city and that, you know, before they could do anything, they needed to pray and they depended on the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit helped them to be able to communicate to the nation from a multi-generational perspective. And seeing that our, you know, our world is going in that direction, it's not just the physical language, but it is the heart language. How do we begin to touch people and communicate with people in their heart language if we're going to be effective? And so Acts to Enterprise looks at finding ways to talk with people, to close the gap, to close the boundaries, by being able to speak a common language of love and grace and forgiveness, but also empowerment and sustainability in the urban context. Because Jesus did say, wait in the city till I send you the Holy Spirit and you'll receive power from on high. And so there's a great opportunity to see how this unceasing power, how the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to do great work in the urban context, and that he also gives to us insight and innovation so that we can be successful in those contexts.
Pastor Bodley, thank you so much for being my guest today, and God's blessings on your preparations and time together at the Lutherans in Black Ministry Family Convocation.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you for the opportunity to be on. And again, God bless you in your ministry.